Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us. And again, it seems like we're in the rut that Wednesday brings on the little storms around here for a while, but that seems to be the way it's been running. And it hadn't been too bad. We got some water today, and evidently going to get some more tonight and in the morning. So we'll go ahead and get going and hope we don't have too much lightning, because lightning is kind of gets to be a big thing around here since we've got all these lakes now, because it seems to minister to our ecological things. The it makes it more apt to get hailstones along with all these storms that we got because of the difference in the temperature. And years ago we had 1,215 apple trees, and when we set them out, we thought we had a good deal going, and I was going to use my part of that to send my kids to school, but that didn't work out, because 5 years straight in a row, when they started clearing this land off to put the lake in, and it had to be clear cut. I mean, nothing left. Nothing. And they push up all the brush and burn it and move all the houses and all that kind of stuff. So, and after the lake backed up for a while, then it kind of calmed down, but we had already pushed our trees up. So, we got involved in other things. That didn't work out the way we wanted it. Maybe it was the way God wanted it. I don't know. But anyway, we have been studying for the last 6 studies, this verse 16 in 1 Timothy 3. That's the last verse in that chapter. And we're going to go down to chapter 4 and look at 1 Timothy 4:1 and start with that. Now, the way Scripture is generally written out, you know, it has a structure in it. And a lot of times when those by the power of the Holy Spirit has been given things to tell us, it'll go one way, and you have an introversion, it'll go halfway down through, and then it'll turn around and give you the other hand of the same thing. And so this is the way it is here in 1 Timothy 3 and 4. Now, we was talking here about the mystery of godliness, and I call that a pregnant verse of Scripture, because you know, you could make 20 or 30 studies out of that if you wanted to. Easy enough. But, we tried to do it in 6, different studies. And so we're going to get down in chapter 4 now, and we're going to deal with the other side. We're going to deal with the mystery of iniquity. And there's 5 verses that deals with that. And I knew I couldn't get all 5 of them in at one time, so I got 4 of them here ready if we got time. And if we don't, we'll pick it up next time and finish up with that. But there's 5 verses that gives you character here. And then from verse 6 through 12, of this chapter, it is what is needed to meet the mystery of iniquity. What tools do we have in our toolbox to offset that? And so that's the way 4:1-12 is structured there. You go down with five verses, and then it takes six verses to bring it back, to equal it out. And so we'll go ahead and do like we've been doing. We'll read the verse in the King James Version, and then we'll read my notes, and then we'll look at Jack Eberle's Workman's Interlinear, and we'll take his notes on that verse of Scripture, and we'll read it along with the out of the Koine Greek, bring it down into the English, and then we'll look at the verses of Scripture that Jack wanted us to look at. That's the way we've been doing it now for a while in these last seven epistles that Paul wrote after he got the mystery truth. So here we go. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils." So you see, we've jumped from one to the other, and we're not going to spend 12 weeks on these verses of Scripture because, I think part of it is self-explanatory and the rest of it, it gets to a point where it's just not needed that much. So I'm going to read you my notes in it. Verse 1 of the mystery of iniquity and its characteristics. And it says, "Now the Spirit," let's deal with the Spirit here. And the Spirit here is the Holy Spirit. It mentions because when you look it up, and you can look it up in the companion part of the companion Bible, and it gives you part there that it says the Holy Spirit with thee, with to start off. So we find out it is the Holy Spirit that we're talking about speaking to begin with. It said it speaketh with intent expressed words. And those words there has a Greek word that explains that, and that is rhetos. Rhetos. And so that's the express part that it talks about there, the expressed words, or the, like Brother Larry Dyer used to say, with exact words. It is what God wants us to know and to understand. That in the latter days, or the latter times, the latter times there, it can be days or it could be seasons. So, and another thing is the question. Well, what's the latter days? Is it now?
If you leave it dispensationally where Paul put it, I would say, yeah, it's the latter days of this age.
Yeah. Simply because, see, Paul got this understanding between Acts 10 and on down in the Philippians, where he was given this, and we find here that Israel had been set aside or unplugged, really, in Acts 28:28. So, you know, if you go back, I think it really the intent there is certainly the latter days, because this is the last understanding that we have that was given by God unto Paul to give to us. And certainly it took him some time, at least probably three years or 4 years, to get all this stuff lined up and get it ready to give to us. So the latter times or latter days, you know, was sometimes after he received the full message of God that he was giving to us in these seven epistles. So latter days can be understood as the times we live in now, which has been some 2,000 years after that. Okay, it says some or certain ones shall depart or become apostate. And that's in the Strong's 868 in the Greek, and it's to removed or act to instigate or act to revoke. And it's usually as to a reflex that causes man to draw away, to refrain, or to withdraw from the faith. And again, doing a little study on this, I don't think that it happens immediately. I mean, I don't think somebody just sits down and say, I'm going to just dump all this stuff. Because the words that have been written are hard to lay back or to put away, and you have to be certainly being bombarded by these imps or Satan's, those that does Satan's work here on the earth, since he is not
the seducing
personally here, the seducing spirits. And but you know, you can be bombarded with this kind of stuff. And I think sometimes it's done by even youngsters that don't know what's going on. And I say this from experience, because I have a cousin, and from a little kid, I didn't know where he got all his meanies from. I mean, gee.
Born mean.
I've never seen anybody that was so anti-God in my life. And he was always fighting or always doing something, always in something. And he wound up, my aunt and his family moved to Florida, and he joined the motorcycle club and got involved in a raping and killing. And he's 10 years younger than me, I guess, or 11. And,
been in prison all his life.
And so they commuted his sentence, to life without parole. And so he's not lived the day after they locked him up. He hasn't lived a free man. He couldn't see his daddy. Couldn't go to his daddy's funeral. Couldn't go to his mama's funeral. And, because both of the funerals were out of state, they wasn't gonna send somebody with him so he could go. So he just didn't get to go. But I think a lot of times that plays a part in it too. And he didn't, I don't think he had faith to begin with. And so this withdrawing from the faith or refraining from the faith of the Holy Spirit is, I think he was in a battle, and he might not have been old enough when it started to understand it. Boy, I certainly did, because my grandmother kept him, and I while his mother worked, and he rode my school bus. And I was a student driver for a year and a half, and I tell you what, he tested my abilities to still be a sane person. I'll just put it that way. So, man can get in a situation to where, he can decide to disclaim the things that God had set for him to do, but he wouldn't do them. And it says, to depart, from, or to remove myself from the Holy Spirit's directions. And I certainly understand that that can happen. I saw it in my own eye. And that's called, in the Greek word, planos. And he's talking about seducing spirits and doctrines or teachings of devils or demons or imps, if you will. But this is Satan's direction to those that fell with him from heaven or came from heaven. And some of them gets away and gets up and gets involved in other things, because we've seen in times that Christ was there that they was those possessed with demons. And so that was a true possession. And he even sent his apostles out, his disciples, and they couldn't, they was times that they couldn't do anything with these beings either. And so, because it was asked, said, well, of them, so why couldn't we do it? You know, why couldn't we,
cast them out.
And I reckon Christ didn't give them that directive to do that. So think on these things. And so we'll read now what the Koine group says about this verse of scripture. It says, the but spirit expressly speaks that in the latter times shall depart some from the faith, giving heed to spirits, deceiving, and teachings of demons. Pretty plain, pretty straightforward there, the way it was given in the Koine Greek. And in the more modern English, it says, but the Spirit expressly speaks that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and teachings of demons. And this is what Jack says about it. We are talking facts here. Jack just comes straight to the point. The question is, when are the latter days? Perhaps it would be well for the body members, us, to regard the present as belonging to the latter days. The departure from the faith and giving heed to deceiving spirits and teachings of demons are becoming more and more evident. Now, you remember Jack wrote this book several years ago already. To make a current commentary on such is not without merit, but 5 or 10 years from now, which is probably right now where we're sitting today, these will be even more evident. So was Jack a prophet? or not. But he
prophet means one that speaks for God, and I think in a lot of cases
he
had it spot on.
Yeah, he was, and certainly what we're looking at here is what Paul was giving to young Timothy, that Timothy could carry on this message when Paul was no longer around. We still got to remember who he's writing this to. A young man that had been with him most of his ministry. But a lot of it was in Acts, the Acts period, and then he got this later on. But even then, he could see there was a time coming that was going to be kind of like it is now, we say.
Well, if you think about it, I don't know if we're in the last of the latter times, but there ain't no latter time than right now.
Yeah.
If you think about it, everything right now back is in the past.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been reading and studying Tom Ballinger's little book on rightly dividing the scriptures. And it makes sense because there was a time of the past that had enough prophecy in it that you begin to see things because it was written in there by all these prophets, and it seems like a lot of them got information about the one that was going to come and take care of things. And when you put them together, it kind of forms like a puzzle or a picture. And that's the past. Okay? Then part of the last verse of scripture that we went over for the six studies, part of that dealt with the fact that that one did come. And he had a ministry for 3 years. And they put him on the cross and pierced him, killed him. He let his blood and water out, and he was in the grave 3 days, or dead for 3 days. And he carried his blood back to the Father. What was left of it? And the Father accepted it because that was the deal that they had made before they ever created anything. Before this earth that we're on now was here, they had already made the decision. Before Adam was ever made out of the dust of this judgment.
I think Paul, well, this one verse settles the question of if there are demons or evil spirits in the world today.
Yeah.
And if they are deceiving spirits and they are demons that have teaching, what is their message? What, when they enter or possess or begin to influence the individual that they have been allowed to go into, what is it that they tell them? What is it that they tell them to deceive them? And I would suggest that in this part of the latter age, that a great deal of them are pushing that there is no man and woman, that you can be a, you know, if you're a woman, you can be a man. If you're a man, you can be a woman. And they make them attracted to the same sex instead of the way God designed it to be attracted to the opposite sex.
Everything that you're teaching is fully against the prior verse that we were in.
Exactly.
Even the resurrection.
Yep.
You know, they.
I mean, take a look at everything in the world around you today, and I don't want to take a lot of your time to get off on this, but This is important, and this was foretold by the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
What is going on around us should not have taken us by surprise. And I have no idea what in the world is going on, but we got no shortage of response vehicles.
Okay.
But I believe that this big push for acceptance and to be, you know, for a lot of years, a lot of decades, this whole thing of homosexuality, both men and women, has been sort of kind of an in-the-closet thing.
Yeah.
Buddy, it ain't in the closet no more. You got politicians today.
Yeah.
That fight for their rights harder than they fight for the rights of normal citizens.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's got to the point to where they're listening to the deceiving spirits.
Yeah.
And they have been convinced, because these people will tell you, well, I've just always felt this way. I've always been attracted, or, you know, as long as I can remember, you know, men never did it for me. If you're, you know, or women never did it in my, you know, in a man's case, you know, women never did it for me. It's another man that does it for me. And where do these ideas come from? They don't come from God. That's not the way we were created.
And most of them starts before puberty.
Yeah. It gets them at a young age.
It's like I was telling you about my cousin.
Yeah, and they want what they want, and what they're trying to do in schools today is teach and push this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the demons want them to do. If the teachers tell them, hey, it's okay, you need to, I know you were born with this plumbing or that plumbing, but you need to figure out what your gender really is. And I hate to break it to them, but God created only two. And forever and ever, that's the way Ronnie McCurry will come down on that issue. There are two sexes and that's it.
Yeah.
And they can say or do or criticize however they would like, but it's not going to make any difference.
You've kind of hit the nail on the head there, I think, because that is truly between that and the lie that can be brought in to either side of this, to whomever you're talking to, whether it be male or female or whatever, they can fit it right in and make it look like the real deal.
Yeah.
But I think, and my think is this, even if they went up sometime or come to a point where they said, yeah, God, I believe your word. But then again, as they grow and as they get more understanding, you've got these that are really strong and pulling against the Holy Spirit. And so there's a war in that individual, whoever it is. It's a war within.
Right. Exactly.
And that war within is not going to be won by the one that they're being pulled either direction or both ways or whatever. And it can be a varied way of taking over. But I think this, I think the Holy Spirit, when they go back to the demonic thing, the Holy Spirit is not going to indwell an individual.
There's no room. They don't really have a spirit.
Yeah.
I think.
And so, the Holy Spirit is not going to live with an evil spirit.
Agreed, yeah.
And so, therefore, you know, you're not going to be able to really, as the old saying goes, straddle the fence somewhere.
Yeah.
In that situation. Okay, let's look at what Jack left for us to look at. But I wanted to start with something that Jack didn't put in his book, but I'm going to ask you, when we go looking at scriptures, go with me back to Genesis 49 for just a minute. And I come up on these things all the time and says, well, I don't know where to bring this up or not, but I felt the Holy Spirit telling me this to go here. So if we don't get very far in the study tonight, we don't have to do these four verses I got. We'll go a little ways in chapter 49. And this is Jacob speaking, and he called unto his sons and said, and then, of course, Jacob is the father of the nation of Israel, of the 12. And said, and Jacob called unto his sons. For Genesis 49, verse 1, it starts on page 69, or we're probably not going to read all this here in 49. But I want to read you a little. And it says, and Jacob, or the father of Israel, called unto his sons, and says, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days, or the latter times. Whichever way you want to use it, it's, you know, their latter times was a lot less than our latter times is, because we have more history we can go back and look at. Okay, gather yourselves together and hear ye, sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. It says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defile thou it. And he went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi, our brethren, instruments of cruelty, are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou unto their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down and couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, or a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washes his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell in the haven of the sea, and shall be for a haven of ships, and the borders shall be unto Zion. Zidian. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw the rest was good, and the hand that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulders to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. So it seems like these 12 children that Jacob had, all of them had some sort of problem that the devil was dealing with, because they had been chosen to carry God's word. Let's read on just a little further. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels, so that his right rider shall fall backwards. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and you shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind. Let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by the well, whose branches runneth over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of the Father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep, that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father has prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. But unto the utmost mounds of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brothers. Benjamin shall rave as a wolf in the morning. He shall devour the prey. And at night he shall divide the spoils. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is their father that spake unto them and blessed them, every one according to his blessing he blessed them. So you see, this is nothing new. These people have been chosen by God to be and to make these 12 tribes of Israel to be as sands of the sea and stars of the sky. And you see, they all had some sort of, basically most all of them, had some sort of a situation that they was having to deal with. So this is Satan at work. Are those that or vowed a vow unto him to help him get rid of the one that was to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, you know, God didn't make a mistake that way, but allowing Satan to be here to show mankind the difference between his greatness and the ability of those that followed Satan out of heaven to do evil in this land that we were, that was supposed to be given to the angels for a dwelling place. So, here we have some sort of an answer. A part of this anyway. And these imps haven't given up. And of course, when Satan is loosed and given time to be with those that Christ is going to raise up, Israel, those that didn't get to know the Father, or the Son of God, this is the ongoing thing to cut off that one that was to come here that Satan wanted to take his place. And so it's an ongoing war. It's an ongoing battle. So we can look and we can see seducing spirits, the doctrines of the devil, and I think they have been in every dispensation that's ever been here because it is an ongoing war.
Yeah. Obviously more prevalent and more mentioned in Scripture.
Now.
In some dispensations.
Yeah. But see, it's, as you understand and as you get more, history, as you can look back and see the things that went on, then this will give you a better picture of what we're talking about here right now.
Yeah, I think if you add up, all the, well, that may be the only place you mentioned, but if you added up all the demon mentions, or demon possession mentions in the scripture, during the time that the Lord was on the earth,
yeah,
I think that's when the fight or the battle was the most intense.
Yeah, sure.
Now, you had some during Acts, but they're not quite as prevalent during Acts, I don't think, as they were in the, when Christ was walking the earth and
flesh and blood.
Yeah. When he was here in the flesh, the demons were at their peak.
Well, and when they put him on the stake, man, we got him now.
Yeah.
We got him now. Now, he even went to the spirits in prison, or those that are in the deep, as we say. And he said, I'm going to say it in South Carolina English. Boys, you thought you had me.
It was
terrible. Here I am. I'm back. I'm back. Okay. Verse 2 of chapter 4. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. And this is going on with the first verse. The first verse was half good and half bad. And now we're getting into the second part of the bad part. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now this is those that depart from the faith. They're the ones that kind of like leaving their first estate. They, just like the fallen angels did. They didn't do what was meant to be done. They did something different. And you don't get away with that with God. And it's a short verse, but here we go. We're going to read what I wrote. Whether it helps you or whether it don't, it's my way of getting my ideas out anyway. This demonic power says speaking lies. And it's not by, like it's in the notes in the scripture. It's not the end. I mean, let's see. It says, speaking lies in hypocrisy or by hypocrisy of those lies. And if you look at it in the Greek, it's pseudo logos. Pseudo is something that doesn't stand on its own. It's a front, or it's like putting up a false face.
Yeah.
Or a false, anything false. And the words that's used are false. Logos, so it's false words. Words that cannot stand on their own value. Think about that for a minute. These ones, verse 1, have swallowed the lie like a fish swallows a man-made lure. They kind of gone like a hook, line, and sinker. Having their conscience, and that word conscience there is 4893 in the Strong's, and in the Greek it's sunidesis. And it's they want it to be co-perception. And this is what they're saying, to be moral or immoral, This is what Ronnie was just talking about, aware or unaware. So we do things and are dealing with things in these latter days or latter times, and we can't tell the difference as to whether they're good or bad. One thing brings my mind is these things that people put these things over their eyes now.
Hell, the virtual reality.
Virtual reality, and they'll play tennis or do this, that, or the other, just like it's the real thing. And they buy them for their kids. And guess what? Around puberty time is where really I think these imps really get things going. So they'll carry a gun to school, shoot up school class or whatever. A lot of them will. You know, because all the time they play in these games and they got all these things flying around and they're shooting and dealing with this. And, well, I killed a whole bunch. That's all right. So go home and find a gun that mom or dad or somebody's let them have, and they'll do the same thing sometimes without thinking, without really being able to understand if it's moral or immoral, or if it's against the law or not against the law. And the rest of this verse says, having their conscience seared, and that's what that does, with a hot iron. Well, in the Old West, that was called branding an animal to know whether it's yours or not. How are we going to lay this out here? Branded as to what camp you belong to. If you're sitting on the couch daily and you're doing this daily or something like this, this virtual stuff, and you really can't tell whether it's true or whether it's false, whether it's moral or immoral, whether you're aware or unaware of what's going on around you, and your heart gets branded. Well, you know, when we started out this study, it was to allow a man was given the knowledge to make decisions, and he was given that wisdom of knowledge and understanding that it could be used along with the heart, because wisdom in the heart is what we would call a soul, the rest of a man, and the Holy Spirit that indwells man can indwell man and lead and guide and direct you. And if part of it is not working the way it ought to work, the war is still on within that individual. Whether we can see it and realize it, or whether we can't. Sometimes we just ignore it ourselves. As being parents or grandparents or family or whatever until it's too late. And in my case, it was just, I just didn't pay much attention. And so, to me, this study is one that really touches my heart. I I don't know what I would do, honestly, if somehow or another they let my cousin out. He was raised three doors down the road from where I live now. But if he come walking in my yard, he might not walk out. Because I sat in my car with a knife at my throat, not knowing he was around. I thought he was still in Florida somewhere. Country Junction. I wouldn't give him the opportunity. I could not do it. And so this is the kind of thing that I'm sitting here thinking back, you know, in my life to realize that, you know, I think this was God showing me what I needed to know.
I think having a conscience seared is they have no feeling. Their conscience doesn't feel anything. They don't have any remorse.
No.
No care, no love, no pity. None of the things that make up the God side of that, like you say, of that equation.
Yeah.
They don't have any of that.
No.
It's all been carterized over.
Carterized, yeah. To where the blood didn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it's just, it's all for them and for their life and for what they need or what they want.
Absolutely.
Their pleasure.
And I try not to judge, because having been a magistrate for 7 years, I know how it feels to be put in between things. And so I think that was part of that whole thing that God was dealing with me in that situation before I was ever.
Well, I think God preps people for what his purpose is going to be. Like he did Paul.
Yeah.
Paul wasn't a Pharisee by accident.
No.
He needed to know what they knew so that he could be their most worthy opponent.
Yeah. And to be able to show and tell others, look, guys, this is what you're dealing with.
And it gave him a certain level of humility, too.
Yeah. Timothy, look, son, I'm not going to be here forever. You're going to have to take on.
Yeah,
and this is what you're going to be up against. Why would it not be that way? Why would it not be that way?
Amen.
Because you see, when the Lord went back to heaven and was seated at the right hand of the Father, we haven't heard from him directly since. So these men that wrote these epistles and taught this truth of God's word and said, guys, you're in a war and it will be going on until Christ puts all this stuff under his feet. Well, I hate I didn't get the two verses of scripture, but look, folks, this is what we need to understand. I don't know if it's other people have to deal with what I have to deal with or not, but I'll tell you this much. I was given a pretty good education, not having gone to college, because this you don't get in college very much. And especially when you talk about the mystery truth, that God held back through all these ages, finally picked one man called Saul of Tarsus that we call the Apostle Paul. And he said, Paul, you're going to finish what Christ didn't get to do.
Mm-hmm.
and you're going to pay for it because people's going to be after you like it was after him. And here we are. This is what we're talking about. Great is the mystery of godliness. But you see, the other half of the war is at battle too. And we really need to understand that and to realize that and to know that the war is still going on and it will go on until the end comes, because we've already understood and seen that this is all there is, evidently, for us until we have our resurrection and have been given a out resurrection that Paul so dearly wanted, like Christ had. And that he was running a race. And some people this recently, Mr. Putin said, don't call it a war. Call it something else. Well, Paul said in Philippians, it was like running a race, folks. I've got my neck stuck out. I am trying to be out front showing you what God has shown to me. Yeah. Here we are in the battle, knowing or unknowing. But we never want to get to the point to where we turn down the Holy Spirit and take up a demon.
Amen to that.
Okay, we'll read the notes on this next time, because this, I've already used my time up, so we'll pick up the notes the next time and go on, because I felt like when I got involved in this with my notes, looking at home and looking at stuff that I needed to look and dealing with the Bill with his little book and all this and trying to sort it all out. And I said, well, here's where I want to go. And I just let the Lord lead me, because that's the only way I know how to do it. You can agree or not agree. That's not what I'm after. What I'm after is putting out the truth and to realize that the war is still going on. God bless you, folks. Love y'all and pray for me. And we'll continue on as long as the Lord will let me go with it.